Hi, hello there. You're all very welcome to the Art Show here on Near FM. My name is John Connell, and this evening I'm going to be looking back over the last year for the various people that we interviewed on the Art Show. Well, I'm kind of having to divide this up really into maybe about four or five people. Poets, writers, singers, songwriters, song collectors. Really, just give you a kind of a taste of some of the programmes that we did over the last 12 months. And we're going to do that over the next hour. So starting off, we have singer-songwriter Carolyn Donnelly. And we're going to follow that up with some poetry by a writer who talks about her novel, Breed Fitzpatrick. She's going to read out a few poems. Traditional singer Padraig O'Nuaillan, he's going to talk about Zosimus, or Michael Moran, who was a 19th century singer and composer of songs. And also Padraig's going to talk about Jimmy O'D, and he's going to follow it up with a song. And then in the second half of the programme, we'll hear some poetry from Catherine Barry, a Kilbarrick writer and a fantastic poet, and she's going to read from her last year's release, A Beautiful Pain, a collection of poetry by Catherine Barry. And we'll finish it off maybe with a few songs. Let's hear from Carolyn. She's brought out a new EP, a four-song EP, and the title of the EP is Clip My Wings. And here's Carolyn talking about the song and the recording process. Your own composition, can you talk about that?
Yeah, that I went back as a mature student and studied acting at the Gaiety School of Acting. I did a two-year full-time acting course there, graduated in 2016. And one of the modules that we do is a cabaret showcase, and that's coming to the end towards our graduation in our final year. And we get the opportunity to showcase our voices. If we have written something, we get an opportunity to do that. And my tutor there, Roger Gregg, was a fantastic guy, and he was very open to allowing you sort of during this showcase to show off what you can do. So I wrote that song for the showcase, and the fellow students, they played the music, and we also had some dancers, which was great crack as well, you know, while I was performing the song. So that was in front of an audience. From the public and also family members and also staff members from the Gaiety School of Acting. So I just got this idea about the song and wrote it and wrote the melody, and that's really how it came about.
Okay, so the name of the song is Clip My Wings. Let's give it a listen.
Okay, great stuff.
Into town with guns all a-blazing. Your confidence is palpable. You're so freaking amazing. You're tough as old boots. You're quick on the draw. The look on your face is so rugged and raw. Clip my wings. Clip my wings, sexy. Clip my wings. I'm coming for you, cowboy. You can let your guard down. I promise you the best night you've ever had in this town. Clip my wings, sexy.
Okay, so that's Clip My Wings, your new single.
Yeah, and could I say about that as well that it was a song that you know, when I wrote it, I probably didn't think too strongly about what the lyrics meant. But it's, you know, as I've recorded it and sang it many times now, it's an opportunity for me as a woman, and I hope all women out there, to embrace their sensuality, their sexuality, and to have the freedom to express your needs, you know, within a loving relationship, be it sexual or otherwise. It's just to embrace it, embrace who we are as women.
It's very well. Like, it's really good lyrics. They're just pretty interesting.
Thank you.
There's angels and cowboys, and
that's it. Yeah, and. Yeah. Somebody recently asked me what it was about, you know, and I jokingly said, you know, it's about all the cowboys I've met, but no, that's not true.
Oh, pretty good. I actually really like it.
And, Great, thank you.
There's a nice tempo to it, you know. It's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, but it clips along, you know, clips along.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, thank you.
So that's song two from your EP. Is there a title to the EP, or is it simply...
It's Clip My Wings.
Clip My Wings, that's the title.
Yeah, I decided to use the title of the song I wrote myself, to highlight that.
And it must be brilliant to be able to actually bring a song together, you know, with your own kind of creativity and artistic expression and so on.
It is, and honestly, the feeling you get when it's maybe played for the first time, and then... Also, the instruments that are maybe added to it that really enhance it, and the melody. And nowadays, it's very, very exciting. And it's only the start now of writing more. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely, great excitement around it.
Is there a difference between singing when you're covering, you know, a song, sort of, you know, a song that you like, and singing a song that, you know, you've written yourself?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, of course, with something that you wrote yourself, that is definitely going to mean I'd imagine so much more to you. I think it's just the excitement of actually getting it done, of having written it. And when you do a cover, yes, you will always strive to get a sentiment, but it's somebody else's song. And when you write your own song, that's unique for you, and no one else has done that. No one else has written that. No one else has put down those words on paper, only you. And that's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's like a piece of art kind of thing.
And absolutely, yeah.
And it kind of very emotional, I'm sure, you know, like trying to sing a song that you're trying to bring something out, touching your emotions or memories or experiences and so on.
Yeah.
Have you got more ideas for another visit to the studio?
I do. I'm working on a couple of things at the moment, and look forward to getting back in there and doing some more stuff. Absolutely. Really do, yeah.
Welcome back. That was Carolyn Donnelly, talking about her EP. Earlier on in the year, I spoke to Breed Fitzpatrick, who has a novel out maybe 10 years or so. And she's going to have a little read from the novel called The Book of the Brown Calf, Moo Calf. And Breed is also going to recite from her poetry collection, Poem Drops. I spoke to Breed. I got her to read from the novel.
In dishes of nuts, fruits, honey, milk, vegetables, spices, sugars, and wonderful liquids that shimmered and glowed in various colours. This was magic indeed. Sitting comfortably, Mukaf suddenly noticed various pairs of eyes peering from the undergrowth. She looked closer and saw that they had an uncanny resemblance to strange-shaped animals she had once seen in a copy being made of an old book. Her own book was being printed at the time, and she had just glimpsed the selfsame animals peering from the undergrowth of colour in the book. It had a strange name, the Book of Kells, if she rightly remembered. They were slithery, sliding creatures that wound themselves round and round themselves and the stems of letters. Others appeared and disappeared from human into animal forms and back again, and yet others still that stretched like elastic across entire pages. Mukaf was as fascinated with these similar strange creatures as she had seen then. "Dis a zoo," she thought delighted she could now use such words. Indeed, she was having a lovely time. Birds sang in the trees, the water joined in the chorus, and Mukaf, warmed by the food and drink, hummed away in unison with them to her heart's content. For the first time in ages, Mukaf was in complete harmony with her surroundings, and soon, if she had not already been in dreamland, she was shortly to be.
Can you talk about the book a little bit, about how you came to write it, and the roots or the origins of the...
The origins, it is a lot of influence from popular culture.
Mm.
Especially of book, I grew up with Jackie, Bunty and Judy, and then there was all sorts of other cultural impressions that I think there was, when I was working with the Royal Shakespeare Company, that influenced me a bit with what I'd just read.
Yes.
It was in the Barbican, and they had a special glass house roof with birds and trees and that.
Okay.
And then part of the description of Jack the Apes is inspired from a Shakespearean play that the RSC did. And popular culture really is main influence.
Did you have a particular person, a reader in mind when you wrote it?
I think adults of all ages.
Adults of all ages.
And children of all ages.
Yeah. It's quite fantastical. There's lots of magic in it.
Yes, and what you have to have is imagination, I think, to read it, So.
And it's published by Swan Press?
That's right, yeah. Mary Gotkin is the publisher there, and she's also a member of the Rat Minds Writers Group. We have... We meet every fortnight in Ratgar Church, Christchurch.
Yeah.
And as many as 15 people can turn up.
Have many of them been published by Swan Press?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Yeah.
Mary Gotkin herself, James Conway, Christine Bio, our printer is Liam McNevin, who prints most of the books for us.
And the title of the book is The Book of the Brown Calf. Mukaf,
yes.
By Breed Fitzpatrick.
That's right, yeah.
And it's available in the public lending libraries?
Yes, it is, Dublin Public Libraries. Yeah, so anybody can Google on with them and they'll soon find copies of them.
It's a nice size as well. It's not too
big.
It's about 140 pages long.
That's right.
If I wanted to buy a copy...
Now, you could try kennys.ie.
Okay.
They're based in Galway, but email them, www.kennys.ie.
Yeah.
And you should be able to find sources there for to have copies left.
I can't just go into a bookshop and buy it.
Not really. No.
Maybe it. When it gets discovered, because I've been reading it, and really, I think it's a really, really lovely read. Later on in the interview with Breed Fitzpatrick, I asked Breed to read some poems from her collection, Poem Drops.
Swans on Grand Canal. Our mad off swans reel an angle of water into the heart of the canal. Ships of thought gliding across the colours of the day. Spring-like time carrying the memories of other travellers throughout the years gone by. Sailing into the feathered future of destiny. Bird watch. Skirting the air with pigeons' wings. The land on the earth of summer. The sky, gleaming blue and fringed with pearl clouds, allows the mid-year sun to brush the day with light. Turn your road east. The thrill of summer's promise in the horizon of the heart, as a flourish of trees melts into leaf and bloom, waiting for the sun as clouds billow in a swallow-filled sky, turning the light into dancing prisms of delight. November day. The day is lined with rain and trooped with trees ready to do battle with winter's cold. The Morrigan's birds dance of death in the wingbeat of air, shadowing the feeble waning sun, made dull by the dying year. Fields, sagging with rinsed out clouds, filled with rushes running to the horizon. An Irish winter filled to the brim with a watery heart. Ice cold in Galway. Glass white, the ground swirling people to a fall in a slow moving world. Breath catching air holding the heart of winter in its grasp. Pale light day edging to the darkness of a long night. The spirits released in faraway north. Death, birth, renewal. The cycle complete in the finite grasp of time. Also, John's Lane Church, Dublin. Inspired to Christ, stone soaring to the heavens as prayer follows suit. The eyes of saints follow the gold rims of decoration up to the altar of Christ, to the heart of him who awaits the company of prayer.
Some poems by Bree Fitzpatrick there, finishing with John Lane's Church, Dublin. Very talented poet and novelist, Bree Fitzpatrick. Pádraig Ó n-Uaillán is a traditional singer, very much in the sort of tradition of Frank Hart, a song collector and a great singer of quite old songs. This is a piece that I recorded with Pádraig where he talks about Michael Moran, also known as Zosimus. He was a 19th century singer and composer of songs. Pádraig talks about Zosimus, and also later on he talks about Jimmy O'Dea. Can you talk about the next song, The Finding of Moses?
Finding of Moses. So we're talking about Zosimus here. Now, Zosimus was a well-known singer, and he's, you know, probably a lot of people would have heard of him even today. And he was you know, a 19th century street singer, really, and he performed up there near Christchurch Cathedral, in or around there. That was his kind of stomping ground, and he lived in that area as well. He lived there at just kind of down, heading down towards Patrick Street as well. So he was blind from about 2 weeks old. That was smallpox, and that was common enough back then. But he apparently had an amazing memory, and he could remember words. And remember, you know, not just words, he'd remember songs like after one or two listening. But he wrote a lot of songs himself, and he was kind of quite humorous. And his language as well, it's very kind of Dublin, and his humour is very much telling stories. So the Finding of Moses is a Bible story, but he's telling it almost as though it happened in Dublin. And or kind of half in Dublin and half in Egypt. But Zosimus, he was an interesting character. And W.B. Yeats actually wrote an essay about him, and he described him in this way. He described him saying his dress consisted of a long, coarse, dark description of a frieze coat with a cape and the lower parts of the skirt, and an old, soft, greasy brown beaver hat and corduroy trousers, and St. Patrick's brogues. And he always carried a long blackthorn stick with an iron top on it, and he'd kind of lean on the stick as he was letting forth and singing his songs. Yeah, well known character around there, and he had a lot of friends as well. But his epitaph was, "My burying place is of no concern to me." It starts, begins, "My burying place is of no concern to me." But apparently, Zosimus was very concerned about where he was going to be buried, because he was very concerned about about grave robbers, although by the time he died, grave robbing wasn't really so much a thing anymore. It had been in his youth, so when he actually died, a number of his friends and admirers gathered the money together so he could be buried in Glasnevin Cemetery, where there was a wall and was protected more or less from grave robbers. But yeah, he was apparently married twice, or as Yeats puts it, twice did he venture into the chariot of Venus by doing the connubial. Yeah, and he wrote a number of songs, and there are some songs that are attributed to him that weren't necessarily his. But yeah, Michael Moran was his name, by the way.
Okay.
And yeah.
Can we play the song?
The
Finding of Moses.
On Egypt's banks, contagious to the Nile, the owl Pharaoh's daughter, she went to bathe in style. She took her stately dip and she come unto the land, and to dry her royal peltcher she ran along the strand. A bulrush tripped her, whereupon she saw a smiling little babby, and he in a wad of straw. She took him up, and says she in accents mild, "Thunderin' Agers, girls, now which yous owns the child?" Well, she took him up, and she gave a little grin, for herself and Moses, they were standing in the skin. "Bedad," says she, "'twas someone very rude, left the little babby be the river in his nude." She took him to her owl lad, sitting on his throne. "Da," says she, "would you give the boy a home?" "Me dad," says he, "sure I've often brought in worse. Go, me darling daughter, now and fetch the child and nurse." And now blackamoor woman, down among the crew, cried out, "Ya royal savage, what's that to do with you? Your royal ladies, they is too meek and mild to beget dishonestly this darling little child." "Ah," then says the Pharaoh, "I'll search every nook, from the Phoenix Park right down to Donnybrook. And when I catch a hilt of the bastard's father, I will kick him from the Nile right down to the Dodder." Well, they sent a bellman to the market square to see if he could find a slavey there. But the only one now that the man could find was the very same young one that left the child behind. She came up to the Pharaoh, a stranger Maria, never letting on that she was the babby's ma. And so little Moses got his mammy back, shows that coincidence is a nut to crack.
Lovely stuff. The Finding of Moses.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a good old song.
Yeah, it's a good one. And
it was Padraig O'Nuálán, traditional singer, who collects songs similar to Frank Hart. And here he is singing The Charlady's Ball, written by a man called Harry Donovan and sung by Jimmy O'Dea back in the day.
You may talk of your outings, your picnics and parties, your dinners and dances and hoolies and all, but wait till I tell you of the gas that we had on the night that we went to the Charlady's Ball. I went there as Queen Anne, and I went with me man. He was dressed as a monkey locked up in a cage. There was pirouettes and pirots and hottentots and whatnots and stars that you'd see on the musical stage. At the chairlady's ball, people said one and all, "You're the belle of the ball, Mrs. Mulligan." We had one steps and two steps, and the devil knows what new steps. We swore that we never would be done again, bedad. We had wine, porter and Jameson. We had cocktails and cocoa and all. We had champagne that night, but we'd real pains next morning, the night that we went to the chairlady's ball. There was cowboys and Indians that came from Drumcondra, Sweet Francis Street fairies, all diamonds and stars. There was one of the Roonies as a clock over Moonies, a telegram boy as a message from Mars. Mary Moore from the Lots was the Queen of the Scots, with a crown out of Woolworths perched up on her dome. There was young Jimmy Whitehouse came dressed as a lighthouse, and a Camden Street garbo that should have stayed home. At the chairlady's ball, people said one and all, "You're the belle of the ball, Mrs. Mulligan." We had one steps and two steps, and the devil knows what new steps. We swore we never would be done again, bedad. We had wine, porter and Jameson. We had cocktails and cocoa and all. We had rumbas and tangos, half sets and fandangos, the night that we went to the chairlady's ball. Mary Ellen O'Rourke was the queen of the dawn. By 1:30, she looked like a real dirty knight. Mickey Farden, the bester, was dressed as a jester. He burst his balloon and dropped dead with the fright. Kevin Barr came as Bovril, stops that sinking feeling, astride of a bottle, pajamas and all. Well, he bumped into Faust, who was gloriously soused, and the two of them were sunk at the end of the hall. At the chairlady's ball, people said one and all, "You're the belle of the ball, Mrs. Mulligan." We had one steps and two steps, and the devil knows what new steps. We swore that we never would be done again, bedad. We had wine, porter and Jameson. We had cocktails and cocoa and all. We'd a real stand-up fight when we fell down to supper the night that we danced at the chairlady's ball.
That's an old Jimmy O'Dea song, The Chairlady's Ball, sung by traditional singer Padraig O'Nuálán. Welcome back to The Art Show here on Near FM. Last February, I went to the Writers' Centre in Parnell Square for a book launch by poet-writer Catherine Barry. She was releasing a collection of poetry. The title was A Beautiful Pain. Her agent read the first poem called Da.
Catherine writes of how her father once told her mother that she had a beautiful soul. He could truthfully have said the same about his younger daughter. I would like to read Catherine's poem about her father. It's entitled simply, Da. Sometimes I feel him making circles around me like a warm shawl of love being draped over my shoulders, a chain of daisies placed on my head, a yellow buttercup under my chin. Catherine, will you ever listen? Dolly Mount Strand, sitting in the sand at the water's edge. I'm scared, Dad, I cried. Let the wave go over you, he sighed. You won't drown. I grin, then frown. Scrunch up my eyes as the blue mouth of the sea tickles my sides. And there it goes, over my toes the harmless wave, washing me into the brave breath of death. I still see him, trousers rolled to the knee, taking a paddle in the sea, wishing he'd get in and swim, daring him to dive back into life.
And here's Catherine Barry, reading from a poetry collection, A Beautiful Pain, and the first poem is Going Back to South.
So, just thank you for everyone for coming. And I think I should start with going back to South, because there's a friend of mine here from the past and she will remember all of this. Going back to South is about, I found I've gone back to my old self of my teenage years, when I was my that was when I was my happiest and my real self. So here we go anyway, going back to self. Going back to self, TK lemonade, fizzy red, bedhead, cream soda, go-karts, tree houses, conkers and beech nuts, elastics, hopscotch, real orange ice pops, spearmint bars from Joyce's of Cork, stork, margarine, no lamb, tagine, chocolate biscuit cake, no bake, licorice pipes, fizzle sticks, blackjacks, politically incorrect, hacks, melting the hot black tar with a magnifying glass, a Halloween mask. Going back to self, back to my hometown, like Rory and Glory, like Philo strutting down Grafton Street, all swagger, dagger in his back, black man of Ireland making us proud, Listoon Varna crowd in a tent of 10, barons, tin whistles, Ben playing Dan Fogelberg. Going back to self, drinking Blue Nun, sorry man, drinking Blue Nun and Lieberfrumilch, rolling down the hills of Doolin, done, been there, got the t-shirt, in the Dandelion Market, cheesecloth and grandfather shirts, soaked in patchouli oil and tramp perfume, white clogs, scraping the dirt off the pavement of adolescence. Going back to self, Thunderland, Stephen's Green Bandstand, Ray and Dunabate, strawberry picking, licking my stained fingers from the hard labour. Judy, Jackie, Melody Maker, Hot Press, reviews and previews of a life loved, jewels in the mud, these are the jewels in the mud of mourning. Going back to self, Balscadden, Yates Cottage, tea scones, butter and jam, when the word man was an expression of love and affection, lamented by Joan Armatrading. Sangria, mantilla, silk scarved, we've been starved, starved, carved up like a bridal buffet, touche. The old grey whistle test, whispering Bob, who never got knighted, Skipper the dog, singing Janicene at 17, whilst ironing our hair, we were there. In our corduroy straits, the coolest of the cool, saving for that first pair of denims bought in O'Connor's. Ma'am, sewing up the frayed ends while I was out dreaming, she couldn't understand that they defined me. Status embroidered on one knee, quo on the other, nothing much has changed. Going back to self, the post-Grove chat, the cream and black of the old phone box, pressing button B because you've no coins, calling the guy you're going with for three days, 4 hours and 22 seconds. He might break it off for some other young woman. In the park, couples huddled under their duffel coats, the shadow play of darkness, Rory, Rory, desert boots, the truths of youth. Going back to self, Instagram cares about your mental health. They removed all the likes, loves and unfollows, Isn't it all the same still, the old drill, the absolute thrill of going back to self? I read Silent and Preoccupied, because my mum is here, and I think she'll enjoy this. Silent and Preoccupied. I asked my father, "Dad, what was I like as a child?" He paused and then said one word, "Preoccupied." I went to my mother and asked the same question, "Mam, what was I like as a child?" "Silent," she replied. I went to Lourdes and I asked Mother Mary, "Mother Mary, what was I like as a child?" And she just smiled, "I'll tell you when you've grown up." This is a poem about my beautiful daughter, Katrina Warren. And I was lying in bed one night and I was very sick. And she's a fabulous musician and she collects instruments and she learns them very, very quickly. And there's a vent on the left-hand side beside my bed and I could hear her playing. So the sound of you, through the vent on my wall, strumming guitar, pops of Joan Crawford, blood red lips, like a mermaid swinging against the turning tide. Junior Joni, hummingbird, there are 8 tracks down on my heart. What a symphony, voice like a knife cutting through a victorious sponge, full of lemon drizzle, the zest of love, all that is good, all that is wholesome, the sound of you, the light from one. Meanwhile, a mother ladybird landed safely in my lap. I should have called you Grace. Okay, 2 more to go and that's it. This one's called There. There, an unexpected orange flower sprouted from the hollowed out brick in the backyard. A purple weed overshadows it. The birch tree, yours, is hanging low. Branches slouch forward, branches pregnant with scarlet berries. Too soon for the autumn, the fir tree, mine, behind it. Somehow they became entwined. Isn't that the story of us? White deck chair, cobwebbed and grey, full of insects from the season's fall, propped against the wall. Claude curled on top of a bed of old mown hay, the smell of summer still fresh on his fur, mocking the magpies with the Cheshire grin. I'll go out and hunt them. I've 1 left. Katrina might remind me what it is.
Two guys.
It's a very, very old poem. When I wrote it when I was 3 months over, and this is how I felt. These feelings I have sipped before, recycled by God, I am ready to pour. Perched on the edge of a chai-coloured sky, a storm in the teacup of life am I. I let you draw a perforated picture, pinholes of truth in the brewing of age. No blend of perfection, so to speak. I am at my strongest when I am weak.
Some beautiful poems there read out by the poet Catherine Barry from Kilbarrick from her book A Beautiful Pain. I think we'll follow that up with a song, another one by Padraig O'Nuálain. This is a song kind of from James Joyce's novel Finnegan's Wake. It's a song called The Ballad of Perse O'Reilly.
Have you heard of one Humpty Dumpty, how he fell with a rowl and a rumble, and curled up like Lord Oliver Crumple, by the butt of the magazine wall, of the magazine wall, hump helmet and all? He was a one-time our king of the castle. Now he's kicked about like a rotten old parsnip. And from Green Street he be sent by order of his worship to the penal jail of Mount Joy, to the jail of Mount Joy, jail of Mount Joy. He was father of all schemes for to bother us, slow coaches and immaculate contraceptives for the populace, mare's milk for the 6-7 dry, Sundays a week, open air love and religion's reform, and religious reform so hideous in form. Arrow, I said you couldn't even manage it. I'll go bail me fine dairy man darling, like the bumpin' bull of the Cassidys. All your butter is in your horns, his butter is in his horns, butter his horns. Hooray there, hostie, frosty hostie, change that shirt in ya. Rhyme the ran, the king of all rans, Balbaccio, Balbuccio. We had chops, chairs, chewing gum, the chicken pox and china chambers. Universally provided by this soft soap and salesman. Small wonder he cheat Erewhon, the local lads nicknamed him, when Chimpeton first took the floor with his bucket shop store down Bargain Wag Lower. So snug was he in his hotel premises sumptuous, but soon we'll bonfire all his trash tricks and trumpery. And 'tis short till Sheriff Clancy'll be winding up his unlimited company, with a bailiff's bomb at the door, bim bam at the door, then he'll bum no more. Sweet bad luck on the waves washed to our island, the hooker of that hammerfast Viking, and Gaul's curse on the day when a Blanabay saw his black and tan man o' war, saw his man o' war on the harbour bar. Where from roars pool bag cooking halfpence he balls, Donnie was scamp pittle whipping wiping fampany, Fingal McGusco won his in barger, Boniface Toxman Gamelhorn or Vigicker's moniker, August Irak Gamelhorn or Vigicker's cod, and Norwegian Camel Owl cod, he is begod. Lift it there, hostie, lift it, you divil ye, up with the rhyming ram. It was during some fresh water garden pumping, or according to the nurse and mirror while admiring the monkeys, that our heavyweight heathen Humphrey made bold a maid to woo. Woo-hoo, what'll she do? The general lost her maiden loo. He ought to blush for himself, that old hay-headed philosopher, for to go and shove himself that way on top of her. Be gobbies the crux of the catalogue of our antediluvial zoo, Messrs Billings and Coo, Noah's Lark's good as new. He was Jout and B. Wellington's monument, a rotorious hippopotamums, when some bugger let down the back trap of the omnibus, and he caught his death a fusiliers with his rent in his rears. Give him 6 years. 'Tis sore pity for his innocent poor children, but look out for his missus legitimate. When that frew gets a grip of our earwicker, won't there be earwigs on the green? Big earwigs on the green, the largest you've ever seen. Sophocles, Shakespeare, Pseudo-Danto and Nonny Moses. Then we'll have a free trade gales band and mass meeting, for to sod him the brave son of Scandinavery, and we'll bury him down in Oxman town, along with the divil and Danes, with the deaf and dumb Danes and all their remains. And not all the king's men or his horses will ever resurrect his corpus, for there's no true spell in Connacht or hell that's able to raise a cane.
There are surreal lyrics from James Joyce in that song, The Ballad of Percy O'Reilly. So I hope you enjoyed the mix of songs and poetry and all things literary. I hope to do a follow-up with a sort of second programme from other recordings that we did over the last 12 months for the art show. So I think we'll leave it there. I'll finish off with another song by Carolyn Donnelly, a Sandy Denny song, Who Knows Where the Time Goes. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. In the meantime, all the very best for 2021 to all of you out there listening. This is the Art Show at Near FM. My name is John Connell. It's been a pleasure to present the show over the last year. And here's to many more. If you have, if you're interested, just email the show, nearfm.ie. If you're interested in featuring in the show or contributing, whether that's songs, poetry, writing of any kind, or really any of the arts, if you want to talk about whatever you do, you'd be most welcome. Hope to see you in a month's time with part two of 2020 Art Show. Take care in the meantime, and go safe. Here Carolyn talks about how she came across the Sandy Denny song, Who Knows Where the Time Goes, and what it means to her.
Yeah, when you asked there about the difference between writing your own stuff and then singing something that somebody else has written and has covered, you're doing a cover of it. This song, it was a musician friend of mine from County Mayo, Joe Carey, that introduced me to this song. And I just think it's magnificent. The words are timeless. You can apply them to any time of your life, I think. But for me, because, as I say, the reason behind recording this was to celebrate my 60th birthday. And when I think about Who Knows Where the Time Goes, honestly, that really, you know, it struck a chord with me. Crikey, here I am at this age. Where has all the time gone? And Sandy Denny, what an extraordinary voice. And unfortunately, she had quite a tragic ending. So when I'm singing this song, I really feel it. I really feel it very, very much. I feel it's a very special song for me.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful song.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And, you know, so many people have covered it, which is proof of what a good song it is.
Thank you.